Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to this gathering of City Light Church, New York. Okay, our scripture today is found in the passage of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 24 to 34. If you are able, please stand for the reading of God's word. All right, Luke 22, starting at verse 24. A dispute also arose amongst them, and as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, "The king of the Gentiles exercised lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become the youngest, and the leaders as one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at the table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. And you are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign you, as my father assigned me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the throne, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he may sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail, and that when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Peter said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." And Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you knew me." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Well, good evening, family. I'm going to move this to me here. I'm going to show some things, but so good to be here, Orlando, finally. We've been trying to have breakfast for like 3 days. We've been trying to set it up, but hopefully it will happen tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's in there.
Yeah, but yeah, such a joy to be here because in Denver, I come from Denver. I'm from Venezuela, but I come from Denver with my wife. And the rule in our life, in our marriage, has been if we go to a church, it has to be a church plant and the smallest we can find, because there are church plants, right, that are bigger. And I'm just saying this because I just want to share my heart about this moment where City Light New York City is one of the moments that for us is so special because it's the family. You guys are the family. And you become like the real special group. But I think in front of the Lord, that's like my worldly view. Maybe sounds heavenly, but it's not real. It's like I'm talking about how special we are because you guys are to me and to Rachel. But for the Lord, I see it as definitely the missionary group. No jokes about it. No, nothing less than that. It's a group that is crazy enough to leave town and come into the hardest city, maybe slash cool, maybe. But it's still hard. For us, it was 3 years. New Year were hard. Maybe it was my residency. But at the end of the day, it's to be the light and to be a Christian and to live it here is not a small thing. We did that in Denver. We were five. I remember when I met my wife, right, babe? The church was really small at that time when we met. And I was just fascinated about the beauty of them. And they did not see it at that time. They were like maybe struggling with things. And as a church member, there's a lot of struggles. That's why you got to be strong and keep be committed to the vision. It takes a long time. It's a slow cook. For those who like to cook, I love to cook. It's not a quick meal. It's a slow cook, but it becomes tender, nice. And now it's just so beautiful to see in Denver at that church. And just God's grace, to be honest. It's not like we do this. But now it's just they're growing, now moving into a bigger building. They're talking about like, this is slow. Maybe like 60 to 70 members. You guys, in God's grace, you will be there. And I want to take a minute to pray for that. So we don't forget where we're going, why we're here. And I want you to take just a few seconds of silence just to to be with the Lord, to ask the important question, why am I here, Lord? I want to see you, or whatever you want to say. Let's take just a few seconds. Father, why are we here? We ask you this morning, man, that answer that you have will be a reality in our thoughts, that the reason why we're here is the same as the one that you have. Help us to see your vision for us, for our lives, not like a random accident in New York City. I pray, Father, we pray that the power of your Spirit will give us clear vision, renew our thoughts, and renew our why every time it's needed. To see you, to love you, to make you non-ignorable. In the east side of Manhattan, in the west side, in the uptown and the downtown. We pray that the light and the beauty of your sun will shine in this community. City Light, New York City. And you will expand and grow as you please give these faithful servants here gathering at Hesaba House your strength, your love, your reward, your passion, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, speak to us. When I see you, when I feel you, when I hear you, speak to us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we ask for this. Amen. Yeah. The scripture that we have today, it's immediately after he institutes the Lord's Supper. He is heading to Gethsemane after this conversation that they're having right there. So it's a moment of the lowest point, if we can call it the lowest point. And if you notice, they started debating. That's what we hear in the first verse of the 22, verse 24. And we're going to talk about that debate. But that debate is a debate, before we dive into it, it's a debate that I notice, or there is a dynamic happening there that was happening in Rachel and I when we were moving. At that time, we were moving to New York in Denver. When I met Rachel, Rachel, as you know, or may not know, but she is probably the funny in the relationship. One of the things that it's interesting about this is that Rachel, we fight about this, is I don't laugh all the time about when she makes a joke or a comment. I don't, but ask me if she wants me to laugh. She really is like, you know, expecting it, waiting for it. It's like, of course. And of course, when I'm here, Joe or Orlando will laugh. It's like, I'm not laughing. It's just not funny to me. But my point with that is, it is so that when before we move, I told Rachel, and this comes from I'm being opening a fear that it will sound ridiculous, warning. But I thought, I have a fear that when we arrive to New York, I don't know why, when I'm coming from the hospital home, I will say, where is my wife? And I will find her in a comedy club. I had that fear, and that fear was real in my heart.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. That's how much my wife loves joking and laughing, you know. And I think Joe is big on puns. And how you say in English? I don't even know. But the thing is that I think, Rachel, when you say a joke, you expect, right? And that reality, I just want to bring that example of expecting something after doing something. You know, you do something and you expect something. It's the nature, it's the water that we live in. Why not? Right? Like, and the other thing that happened to us, it was like, when I was a resident, I was like, used to work up to 70 hours per week. So it was a lot of work. 70 hours per week was a lot of hours. And I was like, oh man, I'm expecting to get home and eat well, you know, and it's stuff like that. You have this stuff. And so, but I hope I'm not the only one in this dynamic of like, I do something, I expect something. I think all of us go through that. Not only like because I'm married, forget about it. Friendships, they fight. It's like, I did this to you, and what are you doing to me? I called you when you were here. And, it's, you know, like that dynamic happens. Also, I don't know if I'm Hispanic, but grandparents could be intense. For those who have kids or don't, grandparents will expect, the kid will expect, report, you know. What is it, something that happens in your life in that way? Like, you will see that dynamic of expecting something, right? All of us expect, but I'm aiming for something that it's somewhat sound, looks like is a good thing, but it's not. For example, when we do something at work and you CC your boss, because, you know, he got to see that piece of the job that I just did. He doesn't need to know it, but you just CC it, you know, because you want to expect something from that action that you did. You know, we're entering these waters of even a little bit more delicate or more sensitive. Not for everybody. Trust me, I don't know your mission all life, but we can see over the years a trend that people will go into missions and you see, they will get the picture with people of ethnicity. It kind of brings them something into their life, if we're honest. There is something that it could have been. It's not bad. I don't think it's something inherited bad about the picture. It's just about gaining something from it. You know what I mean? It's this idea that I'm doing something, but it's for a gain. Okay. And that's what we see. I'm going to just go straight to the point of our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus is probably, it's meeting everyone in Jerusalem. It's dying in Jerusalem, and then it's going to go to the world. And we in our lives might be there, and it's very important to know that philosophy that he wants us to live out, that wants us to practice. And he's given this big statement that I feel that for many years I did not understand fully what it was. But let's read together, because as all of us go through that, we're going to see how the disciples were going through it and how. So verse 34 of chapter 22. Let me see here. Chapter 30. Looks. Oh, no. It's 24. The beginning is 24. I'm the end. So a dispute also arose among them. Look, there is something happening, right? As to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. Quick note, the Lord would not fight that thought. He's trying to be great. Interestingly, it will be a matter of another discussion, but the Lord in the whole system doesn't seem to be a problem for him that you want to be the greatest. That's fine. It's what type of greatness? It's the discussion that we're going to, that he's going to dive into it. So, and this is the point, verse 25. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And those in authority over them are called benefactors. So when I was doing a little bit of research, I was like, what does it mean? What did a disciple think at that moment that the Lord Jesus was saying so? Do you guys know what a benefactor is? Can someone say something if you know?
Is it like a patron?
Somewhat, yeah. Yep. And the connection was, I'm just going to pull like this little graphic here. This is kind of like the design of a benefactor system, right? This is my slide, clipping it. New York City 2020 spy, right? So this is the benefactor system. This is how it worked in their time. It was very interesting. I did not know fully this, but so if someone wanted to rise in power, wanted to go up in a level to have authority over people, they will start creating, doing charity. Charity. They will build schools, theaters, whatever the population needed, they will offer their money and they will do it. That will give them a real title. Some people will call be called benefactor and their name or whatever. This, you guys are familiar with these Romans, big Roman names. There's like, oh my gosh, this is so long. Yes, and there is some of that influence there in the culture. You will gain titles, you will gain names. But look at the system. This is what Jesus is talking, guys. This is happening in your context right now, which is those who have the kings and those who have authority over people, they are called benefactors because they give something in order to gain the authority to rule over everybody. And so that's what I call the benefactor system for us. Can we say that we live there most of the time in our relationships with our friends, with our coworkers? There is a benefactor system. It was really hard for me to like, sometimes I don't. Maybe, but it's really hard for me to say, sometimes I'm not there. But because it's kind of like the water, we just, you know, float around. This is like the system. But what does verse 26 says? Who can read that?
But not so with you.
Okay.
Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest and the leader as one who serves.
Okay, that's good. And I'm going to... If you understand this system, if I'm doing something, but I'm gaining something, which we brought up with sometimes the mission. To be honest, sometimes I feel missions with this picture that I'm talking, it's just an example. It's kind of like brings them a status. I don't know, in status in a room, status in a conversation. I don't know. My intention is not to dive into the details of what's happening there, but the Lord doesn't want us to be there. That's what I'm for sure. I want us to make sure, because I think it's very powerful that the Lord in verse 26 says, but not so with you, but not so with you, Jordan, but not so with you, Esther. But you can, this, if there is one short word tonight that you can go home, is that if you understand this, the Lord is saying to you, but not so with you. Maybe, please. But not so with you. And he dives into something that we heard before also, which is the latest will be the first, and the greatest among you will become the youngest, the leader, as the one who said. That dynamic, right? That I think we do understand it. At least we see it. It's clear. It's a contrast. And he's trying to make a servant. He's trying to not do what the world is doing. But there is a question that I ask myself, Lord, I kind of was in a little prayer with him asking, but the disciples brought you, set up tables for you. The disciples got the donkey for you. The disciples were kind of, you know, like, to be honest, you can find all these instances where the disciples are serving the Lord and, you know, getting the donkey, getting this set up, security. If you watch The Chosen, you can see some of that real, that was real. Like Peter was very much in front of security, probably protecting him. So there is all these groundwork that the disciples were doing for him. So like, how does it apply for you? Or to you, Lord, because at the end, it says, let me find it. where he says, verse 27 at the end, he says, but I am among you as the one who serves. I was not doubting that the Lord was serving. I was just wanting to make, I just want to have clear picture of what he meant. Because for a lot of people, I think the first view of these verses are kind of like, well, sure, let's physically serve. And that's why we start diving into, which is not bad. Again, I'm not trying to draw extremes or going one way or the other, or one way or the other. But sometimes you will see it's like, we got to go serve this, the poor. We got to do this. It's all fine. The purpose tonight is to find what does it mean for the Lord? What is he trying to convey to us? It's just the act of serving physically. What is he trying? What is he getting into? I would love to have a better understanding of this as we're probably having right now with the benefactor system. So what does it mean? And that's why the one verse that will help us understand what does it mean that Jesus became, or he came to serve, or became a servant. What is a verse? I'm just, because I know you well, like, what is the verse that will, that kind of will show us, or shows you, maybe it's a personal, like, man, that's the moment when he, or that moment there with Jesus is clear to me that he is a servant.
Crucifixion.
One. Yeah.
Pretty certain for the situation there.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Does it have to be the Gospels?
It has to be what?
Does it have to be the Gospels?
No.
Yeah.
Feel free.
Yeah. Because Romans 5. Okay. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Right.
I love that because sinners, it means we were against him. We were your enemy is a point, which is. And he still, at that moment, he loved us. Oh, great, great. I love this because everybody will have, you know, one instance, like, will remind you of that moment the Lord was there. Anyone else?
Yeah, I mean, the time when he's like, the Son doesn't do anything unless it's what the Father wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. His obedience to the Father was probably like the current or the undercurrent, like, of all this drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. His capacity to submit to the Father, to take the cup. Yeah. Anyone else?
2 Corinthians.
Okay.
Chapter 5, verse 21, where it says, he who was without sin came sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. I'm paraphrasing.
We'll love it because that's what we're going to do tonight. Yes, yes. You're entering into something that is connected, but you're I want to highlight from that. It's that, is this nature dynamic? No sin. And he just took on it, like on sin. He took on sin. No sin. And he decided to take this spiritual, my head is bringing nature or spiritual reality that was no his. Nothing related to sin belonged to him, but he took on it for our sake.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Anyone else? Feel free. I have one here that Paul says in Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 5, that I want to highlight as probably all of these are beautiful examples and they're there, but one more to the list, which says Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 5 says, have this mind among yourself, which is the same idea of why now look 22, 24. It's just like, this is the way they live, but not so with you. You know, like, this is a positive way. It's like, do not do so, but the whole point, actually, we need the positive. Where to go? How to go? You know what I mean? and have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ, it's yours. Who, though he was in form of God, he was in the form of God. Did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped. Though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of man. That's why Jesus says, but among you, I am the one who serves. Because he not only might be doing the action of washing their feet, he did. But again, that's not the main point that we gotta take away. We gotta do, let's do it. That might be the easy to get, the easy to see, the easy to do. What is the more difficult is to become, which is the calling of Luke, of Jesus in the book of Luke that we read, that the greatest become, you know, that the one who with authority becomes as the ones that serves. So is the becoming, is the changing, is the transformation of the nature, of the thing that is happening, either the power dynamic, either in the relationship. And Jesus, even though he was in the form of God, he became like a man. I do know Jordan loves Lincoln, and my wife loves like Chloe. I don't know if you guys have pets. I forgot. No, it's okay. It's okay. It's a lot. I have one. You have three, I think, or two. Two. My point with this, it's really hard for us to understand Jesus being God descending. I know you're not deaf. You're listening to it. You're not blind. You have read the fact. But my point is to kind of feel it, to kind of, you know, feel the weight of these words. It's really hard because when, you know, have we been in that situation where we just become something else? I don't see myself many times in that situation. But if there is something that could be close to that, it's just that this idea that you are loving something like your pet, and all of a sudden you just become, in order to be there, in order to understand, in order to sit down with you, in order to feel you, in order to, you know, to feel that pet. But this is we're not talking about pet, we're talking about God becoming and sitting next to you. Coming that nature that you feel sometimes alone, that nobody will understand you. And nobody will feel the weight of the sin, that nobody understand, you know, the weight of sin, the struggle, the physical nature, the spiritual nature, whatever barrier Satan is just trying to build on us to create a wedge between us and Christ. It's just totally false. Because he became a man. And as Audrey was bringing and all of you were bringing, this was not even in the form of man, each thing that you guys said. I remember the part of the nature, even though he was holy as a man, he became sin for us. Even though he could have died, he didn't die any death. He took on the cross, you know? So, even though you feel like, no, Christ did not submit, he submitted to the Father, as Orlando was pointing at. And that discovery is what, I'm just bringing the second example to end here, but it's the idea of, it's this action of God, Jesus even though he was in the form of man, of God, became a man. And he became a man to meet you, to transform me, to transform us. But the next action is where he's calling us not to do this, to expect, but from the fountain of what he has done in us, we can continue. There is no enough gas in the tank to continue a friendship. It will be broken. A relationship, any type, either if you're dating, if you're not, a friend, families get destroyed. There is no enough reward that will keep that thing moving because the assumption and the expectation will destroy it. And we're not going to move. And talk about a collective movement as a church in a city that needs just a drive forward. Not this circular thing that will get static. Why am I going to the life group or city group? You guys call it city group. Why am I going? Oh, I don't know. I'm telling you, life group, this is the merch stuff. I haven't been with you all that long, so I will feel freestyle here. It's like, oh, you never bring food? What is wrong with you? You know, it's like expectations. You're kind of not on time. All this, like, expectations. And we build, and these are just ridiculous. We build a lot more. You know, like you didn't say hi. It's like the assumption and the expectation, which is, again, and this is the beauty of Jesus. I'm not trying to deny reality. Far being from it. Yes, there are people that don't bring food. There are people that come late. Those are realities that we're going to face. No issue. Jesus want us to hold both. Both. And that's what I love him. Because when I suffer and when you suffer, he's not going to deny your suffering. It's like, oh, get over it. You know, just get over it. Move on. It's how can I move from this broken system that exists, that I live, that I just breathe. Either myself, or I have this amount of expectation from people on me, like, you know, on the world here. Because it's true. And you've been there. Sometimes you don't want to receive a gift from that person because you know that they will expect. And that's like this weighty thing. It's a horrible system. It's a system of emptiness. It's like a black hole. It's like absorption of like life. And Jesus is, we're not going to deny it, but Jesus is calling us to do what he did. Even though he was in the form of God, he became a man. And he died, and he went, and he still goes, and he's merciful with us. And this is something to go. What I want you to think about our relationship, our situation right now, where the expectations are just killing it. You know, this person should have done this, have to do this. I'm assuming this. It's just like has to happen that way. Somebody failed the promise, the word that the person gave you. But at the same time, what would it look like for that part of your life, that relationship, to experience this? Imagine a moment. Or you're free. You're free from it. You don't expect. You don't need to be hurt because you're not expecting. You just drink from that fountain that is our Lord. And you live and act on it. And that relationship. Imagine our families feeling this. This power, this current. Imagine the drive of the mission for the church. How different would it be the community and the go-to and the city group? That invitation, sometimes that you gotta do Orlando. Orlando doesn't have any problem inviting people. But let me pick on him. But sometimes we do have problem inviting people. You know what the expectation, what we assume about me. Whatever you build them in your brain. imagine and just be transformed into it. Because the Lord invited me one day. The Lord invited me. The Lord talked to me one day. And if I can give you a direct example in what we just read, it was Peter. The Lord knew. The Lord was not expecting from Peter. He just loved him. He just loved Peter, brothers. Peter was, Lord, I will die for you. It's like, I know you will die. Because again, it's not denying that Peter likely had this, you know, impulse. Yeah. Beautiful. Never thought about him. Thought about the consequences. Of like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Sometimes fought with Peter about the way he came out. But the Lord said, Peter, you're going to deny me. And the end of that conversation is just so you see that Jesus doesn't live here. Imagine Jesus here. Impossible. He's just Peter. You're going to deny me 3 times. But when you come back, encourage your brothers. That's our Lord. That's how the Lord is speaking to your life. Well, it's in areas that you may feel like a failure. And you just need to be loved by Jesus. When you live here, there's a lot of feelings of failure. Like people expect from you, or you expect from people, whatever the math is. But in Jesus, Peter was restored to the full extent and became the apostle that is now, he was able to move the church forward. That church. And it's because he lived in this principle of doing it from the fountain that is Jesus and the Father. That's how the Father created the world. From the beauty and the goodness of him, he poured out. So, brothers and sisters, let's live in that. I encourage you. The one little word that tonight is that if you live in a benefactor system, Jesus said to you, but not so with you. The world says, serve to gain power. Serve to get that influence. Serve to get that, you know, good acceptance. But Jesus says, give yourself. Because you already have everything in me. Everything in me. Give yourself because you already have everything in me. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you because your expectations are not beyond our reach. But only just to be loved by you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and not expecting. But you saved us from grace, through grace, by faith. Not from us, but from the work of Jesus. Lord, I pray that the truth of your love, the truth of Jesus will live in us, heal our relationships, heal our families, our friends, at work with our coworkers, that we will live and reject this benefactor system that expects, assumes, but that we will drive and move towards the one that comes from you, the fountain of love that was poured out on the cross. And he resurrected. He was resurrected, Father. And we thank you for him because he is our King. And I pray that a city like New York City will drive forward like a spear. Instead of a circular motion, we'll go forward because you called us, because you invite us, because you loved us, because you provide, we do it. That the answer will come from you in us. Because you did it to us, we do it to others. Because you forgave us, we forgive others. Father, help us, bless us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.